Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
It's deja vu all over again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Another big drop in the Asian stock markets today. Japan's Nikkei shed almost 3%. That's close to what it lost in the sell-off a couple weeks ago. Other Asian markets closed 2 to 3% lower. And in early European trading, there are some heavy losses as well. All this comes after Wall Street went a tumbling down yesterday. The Dow fell 242 points to end at 12,075. The Nasdaq lost 51 to 2350. The S&P 500 slid 28 to 1377. More news about foreclosures and the subprime mortgage market triggered this latest wave of selling. In Britain today, the Parliament debates whether to build more nuclear weapons. Prime Minister Tony Blair wants to spend almost $40 billion on 3 or 4 nuclear submarines. It would take about 17 years to build these. Stephen Beard has more on the arguments.
Well, at least one quarter of the ruling Labour Party is against it, and they're against it for a number of reasons. First of all, $40 billion, they say, is a great deal of money, and it would be much better spent on conventional weapons. And also, this decision sends the wrong sort of message to countries like Iran, who are seeking to have nuclear missiles, that, in other words, it will promote proliferation. Supporters, however, say, we don't know who our enemies are going to be in 2025. And on the subject of Iran, they say a nuclear-armed submarine patrolling the waters off the Iranian coast would be a pretty good way of keeping the Ayatollahs under control.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Today, a top executive at Toyota said he's worried about an American backlash against his company. Toyota's close to unseating GM as the world's number one car manufacturer. Lawmakers in car-making states like Michigan have accused Japan of manipulating the yen for Toyota's benefit. The Toyota executive said his company needs to boost the number of foreigners on its 25-member board of directors. Right now, there are zero. Today, Toyota will join together with the American carmakers and their labor group for a hearing on Capitol Hill. Lisa Roth explains.
Big cheeses from GM, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, and the United Auto Workers are testifying at a meeting of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. They all agree the government's proposals for raising fuel efficiency in cars will cost the industry lots of money and jobs. They say the new standards shouldn't be set by Congress arbitrarily. Dave McCurdy heads the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers.
What you'll hear is a consistent argument by them that the industry does support continued improvements, but that it's best brought about through a very organized process.
McCurdy says consumers have chosen other features, like air conditioning in bigger cars, over fuel efficiency. There are a number of bills in Congress now which would mandate higher fuel standards, but the emissions debate could also get thrown into the bigger issue of regulating greenhouse gases. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by the Duke Executive MBA, developing leaders and accelerating careers around the world with 4 top-ranked executive MBA programs for working professionals, DukeExecutiveMBA.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Hillary Clinton gave a speech this week to the Wall Street investment bankers at Bear Stearns. A few weeks ago, Rudy Giuliani spoke. Bear Stearns has invited all the major presidential candidates to come and talk and raise money. Commentator Robert Reich doesn't like it.
I may be old-fashioned, but I liked it the old way, when presidential candidates spent months trudging through New Hampshire and Iowa, addressing citizens at town meetings and in living rooms. It used to be that's how candidates got known. Now, candidates spend less time addressing coffee clutches in Iowa and New Hampshire and more time addressing, well, investment banks. Partly this is because the presidential election now starts long before even the first state primary, which means the major candidates on both sides are already national celebrities. They don't need to spend time at meetings sponsored by the Marshalltown, Iowa Chamber of Commerce or by the Nashua, New Hampshire League of Women Voters. Everyone already knows the major candidates. But it's become more important to address firms like Bear Stearns, because that's where the money is. The big state primaries will be air wars, where the candidates duke it out on television ads, followed by a general election requiring even more TV ads. And TV ads cost lots of money. It's estimated that the 2008 presidential election will cost a total of over $2 billion, most of it going into television advertising. Not surprisingly, the national media, which has a strong financial stake in seeing this sum continue to rise, is already handicapping the primaries according to how much money each candidate has raised so far. And where do candidates in search of big bucks turn? Increasingly, to Wall Street. In 2004, Wall Street contributed a total of $339 million to candidates for federal office, according to the nonprofit Center for Responsive Politics. That's about 60% more than the second largest source of funds, which were corporate lobbyists and lawyers. But as presidential politics morphs from town meetings in Iowa to investment banking meetings on Wall Street, you got to wonder what the presidential candidates are hearing about America.
Former Clinton Labor Secretary Robert Reich now teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. A few days ago, we told you about something called cyber squatting or typo squatting. That is, registering a website name that's very, very similar to a popular one, like Microsoft.com, spelled with a U. Well, Microsoft doesn't like this new form of opportunism. The Financial Times says the company is launching a series of lawsuits in the U.S. and Europe. Microsoft will also be taking back 1,100 domain names since it began its campaign against cyber squatting last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.